This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
How does your hometown treat Jesus when His Word presents Him as the only Savior of the world? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to join us. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that your word gives us such a graphic description of what Christ has gone through during the days that he was on this earth. We thank you that men never looked to him during his time here as the Redeemer, as the one to whom they should really turn and should really find their peace in him. They did not like that he was called the Messiah. They did not want that kind of a Lord. Today, O God, we realize that we are so repetitious in our thinking and in our action. We pray that we may seriously ask ourselves, how does our hometown treat Jesus? For we ask it in his holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote the proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum." "I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through them and went on his way. Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, when a famous person arrives in his hometown for the first time, there is often a big celebration. That's the way it was in our hometown many, many years ago. One of our very own, Rudy Vallee, had come home after becoming famous as an actor, a musician, an entertainer. I remember I was only about 10 years of age, and the celebration really had me in awe. There was a big parade, and there were signs that said, "Welcome, Rudy, come home." We had quite a time. Here was this young man who now was prominent and known all over our land. Many years later, I'm sure at least 35, I was in New York City with a friend attending some lectures, and he read in the paper that the production "A Strange Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum" was being shown or being dealt with in one of the theaters of the town. So he said, "Let's try to get some tickets and let's go see Rudy Vallee." He was a Midwesterner, but he knew that it would be a treat for me. So we went down to the theater and we got some tickets. And while we were sitting there, I thought, I wonder what the reaction would be if I sent a word back to the dressing room asking Rudy if I could see him for just a minute after the performance was over. Unknown to my friend, I sent that message down, and she came back after a while and said, "I visited with Mr. Vallee, and he would be more than happy to see you, especially since you're both from the same hometown. So when the play was over, I said to my friend, "Let's go down and see Rudy. I'd like to introduce you to him," as if I were on a first-name basis with him. I'd only seen the man one other time. He said, "You can't do that." And I said, "Well, let's try it." So we went down, and he was waiting for us, and we came into his dressing room, and we sat and visited. It wasn't very long. It wasn't a real personal visit. But I did say to him, "You know, I remember your old father very well. He loved to go to the baseball games, and we kids loved to sit near him because he would buy us peanuts." And he laughed, and he talked about his father with real emotion. And then he said, "You remember, were you a little boy, when I came back to Westbrook in Maine for the first time?" I said, I stood right there in the street and watched you go by with the signs, "Welcome, Rudy. Come home." And then he really smiled, and he said, "My hometown was so supportive of me." Well, that has gone through my mind for a long time. Here is an entertainer who went out and made his people proud of him. When he came back and performed for them just a little bit, they heard what they wanted to hear. But today we have another one. And I am in no way comparing the Lord Jesus Christ with any human being. In fact, I really waited many, many a time. Should I use this illustration? I'm not talking about differences in people, because Jesus is not just a man. Jesus is the God-man. But what I'm talking about here is how people respond differently when the person coming back gives you what you want to hear, and the other one who comes back and says things that are irritating to you. Jesus came to his hometown, and when his brief sermon had ended, they tried to kill him. Today, the majority would treat him with indifference, or at best, with just simply going out to see, out of curiosity, what he looked like. Now, let's take a look at the day Jesus returned to Nazareth. It was his hometown. He had worked in the carpenter shop. But now, at the age of 30, he was having to unveil himself and let the people know that while he had been there in this role for a while, God had sent him. God had sent him to be the Messiah and the Savior of the world. You remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about this same thing of Jesus unveiling himself, I mentioned to you that there is this marvelous text that after John the Baptist had baptized Jesus and he came up from the water, there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." Now, don't you think those people went home shocked? We heard the voice of God. And the voice of God said that Jesus was his beloved son. He was unveiling himself. Last week, we talked about Jesus in Cana of Galilee. They had run out of wine at a wedding there. Mary came over to Jesus and said, "They've run out of wine. Can you help them?" And Jesus turned water into wine, some of the best wine those people had ever tasted. Don't you think they went home saying, "I can't believe it, but it was right there before my very eyes. I tasted the wine. It was so good." But he was unveiling. "I am the Son of God. I am the Savior of the world." And then it says that he went out and talked in various synagogues around that part of Galilee, preached to them, healed their sick, gave all kinds of evidence that he was God's only begotten Son. Wouldn't you have thought that they would have said, "Man, how fortunate we are"? Shouldn't there have been signs up, "Welcome, Jesus, that you have come back to where you grew up, to tell us first about who you are"? But when he came to Nazareth, as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and when he got time in the service where a person could stand up and read the scriptures and make a few comments, Jesus stood up and made mention of those words that were found in the 61st chapter of the prophet Isaiah. This is a portion of God's word that deals with the Messiah when he comes. He is going to preach the good news to the poor. And by the poor, there were those who were spiritually poor, but they could be brought into a living personal relationship with God through faith in the Messiah. He was going to preach freedom to the prisoners. Maybe it was some of those who sat in dungeons or behind bars, but probably it was the spiritually bound. They had tried hard to free themselves of the law in such a way that they could be more pleasing to God, but they simply could not do it. Now he comes and says, it is through the Messiah that you enter into a relationship with God, and there you will be free, free to walk and live as his child. He said, I have come to open the eyes of the blind, to show you who you are, but more than that, to show you who God is, and that God is a God of love. And so he went on and he expounded on these verses until finally some of the people began to ask, who is this guy? Isn't this Joseph's son? And is he telling us that he is the Messiah? That's going too far. For the Messiah that we know and the Messiah that we want is going to be a warrior. And when he comes, he will capture the Romans, and we, Abraham's children, will be set free. But this Messiah, according to Jesus, was coming in love, and he was going to seek to reach out to all of humankind. And then he reminded them that God loved all people. While he had chosen the Jews for his very own, there was a love in his heart for everyone he had created. He told them the story of Naaman and knew it all too well. For in the area where Naaman lived, and Naaman was a Syrian, he was not a Jew, he was not one of God's chosen, but he had leprosy. But there were many, many others around there who had leprosy too. What happened? God healed Naaman, the only one who was healed. And he was a Gentile. That was enough. God could not be the God of the Gentile. And so they were going to kill him. They took him to the top of the hill, and they were going to throw him over the cliffs. But then Jesus performed what some have said was truly a miracle. He walked through the midst of them and was not hurt. They attempted to kill him. That was his treatment when he came back to his hometown. May I ask you the question? How is Jesus received in your hometown when he is presented as the only Savior of the world? This story bears repeating in every generation. The Savior of this world is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only. He has come to proclaim the good news of salvation. He has come to tell us very clearly that he came into this world for one purpose, and that was to suffer and to die as a payment for our sins, that we may be restored into fellowship with God. He has come to tell us that he has set us free, and if we will trust in him, we who are captives to our own being can be set free to live under the armor of God. He has come to open our eyes that we could see not only ourselves as we really are, but we can see that merciful, loving Heavenly Father that reaches out to us. Now, how are we responding to this message? Well, we certainly would have to say that probably in most hometowns, there would be a minority of people who would truly receive him. There may be in some towns, smaller Midwestern towns or wherever they may be, a majority who had joined the church. But how many really received him? Who understood what he said and what meaning it could have in their lives? Probably the majority, in most cases, there may be some exceptions, would simply ignore Jesus' message. Is that the way we deal with Jesus in our hometown today? Really, when it gets right down to the basic message that he is proclaiming, we ignore it. We say it is not relative to our day. Or it probably angers us when it says it teaches bigotry, that he alone is the Savior of the world. That is a way that in many hometowns he is being treated today. A few days ago, a copy of USA Today was handed to me, and the person said, "Read this article." It was entitled, "Is God Dead in Europe?" The article was reporting on Prague, which is the capital of the Czech Republic. It came from the Prague Post. In this newspaper, it says, only 19% of the people in this once religious country believes that God exists. In the Czech Republic, according to this article, the bars and cafes are full, the crystal and art shops are busy, and the historic cathedrals and churches are basically emptied. A former president of France has said, Europe lives in a purely secular political system where religion does not play an important role. And then the article goes on to say, written by James Gannon, where Europe has gone, America could be going. Pat Buchanan, in his book, The Death of the West, has put it this way. The de-Christianization of America is the goal of many liberals, and they are succeeding. Court decisions that have banned school prayer, removed many nativity scenes from the public square, legalized gay marriage and abortions are a part of that pattern. Europe is showing us where the path leads, and according to Pat Buchanan, it is not good. How does your hometown receive Jesus? Like those parts of Europe that we have already quoted? And while these are Southern Europe countries, in the northern part of the continent, there it is no better. And perhaps we do not have a right to point to any particular country, for we have enough on our own. Maybe the church attendance is better, but how have we really treated the Lord Jesus? Jesus Christ is coming again. And the question is, what will we do with him when he comes? Friend, if you do not know him as your Savior and Lord, then I plead with you today, give this some serious thought. What have I done with this Jesus who himself came and said, himself, this is who I am. And if you will receive me, then you're mine forever. But if you leave this world having treated me with great indifference, then I can only say, depart, I do not know you. We join with the evangelical community of this world, making an honest, sincere plea. Let him control your life. Accept him for who he said he was, and give him a grand homecoming in your home, in your heart, in your community. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you patiently wait for us to make that decision empowered by the Spirit of God. God, we pray that we may understand that Christ and Christ alone is a rock of ages, the one who can save us and the one upon whom we can build our lives for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's program has brought you spiritual comfort and joy. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 70th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.